You won't believe it, but there was some confusion this morning. And the confusion has to do with which verse that we'll be discussing. So without all the explanation, we're going to repeat the verse from yesterday because that was what was on the board and that's what we're going to do. But it'll be varieties on the theme of whatever the message is for text 8. And she's almost ready. Anybody has their little device, you can get that out so you can see what the verse is. Canto 9, chapter 19, text number 10, text number 8. Maybe what I'll do while she finishes writing, I'll just read the translation for 7, 8, and 9. And then hopefully the Sanskrit will be ready for 8. In any case, text number 7. This is King Yayati speaking to his wife Devayani about a parable or a invented story to explain his embarrassing situation and her frustration with his embarrassing situation and how she responds to that. And he tells it in the form of a story, made up story, a he-goat and a she-goat. Okay, here we go. When the she-goat, text 7, when the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her husband goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate his activities. Text 8, this one. Aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. And then text 9. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. So the he-goat is the king, Yayati. The she-goat is his wife, Devayani. And the other is Sarmishta. Okay, so here we have the verse, text 8. Tam durdam surid rupam kaminam kshana sordam indriyaramam utsrija swaminam Dukita yayao tam duradam surid rupam kaminam kshana soridam indriyaramam utsrija swaminam dukita yayao. Him, the he-goat, Dorhadam, cruel-hearted, Surit Rupam, pretending to be a friend, Kaminam, very lusty, Kshana sauhridam, having friendship for the time being. Indriya aramam, interested only in sense gratification or sensuality. Utsridja, giving up. Swaminam, to her present husband or to the former maintainer. Dhokita, very much aggrieved. Yao, she left. Translation, aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought that the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. Purport. The word swaminam is significant. Swami means caretaker or master. Devayani was cared for by Shukracharya before her marriage, and after her marriage, she was cared for by Yayati. But here, the word swaminam indicates that Devayani left the protection of her husband, Yayati, and returned to her former protector, Shukracharya. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman stay under the protection of a man. During childhood, she should be cared for by her father, in youth by her husband, and in old age by a grown son. In any stage of life, a woman should not have independence. So, this is a theme that a varnashram message that Prabhupada would not hesitate to repeat again and again. Sometimes he says necessity, here it's a little softer. Vedic civilization recommends that a woman is under the protection of her husband, and I'll say some things about the Sanskrit here, and then we'll go to another topic. Dur ridam su rit and sau ridam. These are rid means heart, so dur ridam, hard-hearted. Suhrit, good-hearted. Sur, stur, and su. So it's friendship. And kshana, sauridam, at the end of the second line. Friend only for the time being. Kshana, just like we pratikshana svadhana longupasya. Kshana is a moment. It's less than a second. It's a short time. So, kshana sauradam. He was a friend only for the time being. How is Prabhupada is given the word for word. In this world, Bhaktisiddhanta's statement is, there is no love. Meaning, when there is love, it's literally otherworldly. So some people certainly take exception to a statement like that. What do you mean? I love my wife, and I love my children. I love my dog. I love my country. I love my friends. I love my brother. I remember hearing multiple times Rabindra Swarup Prabhu telling a story about when he was doing his PhD at, I think it was Temple University in Philadelphia, he had a professor who was the supervisor of his PhD program, and he knew that Srila Prabhupada liked to interact with academic people and government people and to help influence them to understand the way of bhakti. So without thinking too much about it, he invited his PhD candidacy supervisor to meet Srila Prabhupada. And so it was arranged, and Prabhupada came to visit Philadelphia. And the first thing his professor said to Prabhupada is, how can you worship a debauchee? Because Krishna was, forget the word, there was a particular word, but it's related to this, lusty. And he was engaged in activities with others' daughters and others' wives. How can you worship such a person? That was like, that was the first introductory challenge. So Prabhupada, without a moment's beat, he said, Krishna is not the debauchee, you are. And then went on to explain that living entities, whatever bodies they're in, living entities are Krishna's. And so they're actually, your wife is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, but you're enjoying your wife as if she's your object for enjoyment. You are the debauchee, not Krishna. And then Rabindra said the way that he processed it was two things. He felt really terrible that he brought before Prabhupada a man that first thing is insulting him, insulting Prabhupada and his, you know, his way of life and his conceptions of life. And the second was, said, well, if it's true for my professor, then it's true for me that I'm a debauchee too. But I love my wife. I don't exploit my wife. I love my wife. And he said, I couldn't sleep all night for both of those reasons, but even more so the second one, because what's done is done with the professor. But, you know, Rabindra is very lucid and eloquent when he speaks. He said, in the morning, after attending Mangalarti and chanting his japa, it came to him what Prabhupada meant. It's not like what he was doing in having a husband-wife relationship was the act of a debauchee. It's thinking of, in either case, the wife thinking of the husband or the husband thinking of the wife as an object meant for my enjoyment. They're both, the husband and the wife, or the spirit soul in this body, that body, the other body, that's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And so one should be engaged in activities with that view in mind, Krishna's enjoyment. And one doesn't think that way, they have a misunderstanding. They're covered by Maya, thinking I'm the Purusha and over there is the Prakriti for me to enjoy. And again, it works both ways, husband to wife, wife to husband. The opposite, the spouse is not the object for my enjoyment. Thinking that way is an error, and it leads to unhappiness. There's never satisfaction, which is what the storyline in the previous chapter ends. While Yayati was going here and there and enjoying, and particularly with Sarmishta, etc., etc., he, you know, the little light went on saying, this isn't really happiness. So he's now sharing with Devayani that illumination of the error of the ways of his life up to this point, and he's telling it in this form of a story. So the friendship, the Kshana Sauradam, The friendship that's short-lived is not real friendship. A relationship that's based on one enjoying the other as an object for my pleasure, interesting, in the word for word, this indriya aramam, so rama, we know the meaning, aramam is indriya aramam, finding happiness in the indriyas. So how many times did Prabhupada speak of sense gratification? Sense gratification. So here he says sense gratification or sensuality. So sense gratification may mean, you know, the numero uno, sense gratification in material life. That dogs and cats and bugs and birds and fish and all living entities know. That's sex attraction. And it's not just that one, it's sensuality in general. So the fish being attracted to tasting something, and so that's how fish get caught, or the deer becoming attracted to nice sounds, so that's how the deer gets caught, etc. Sensuality, indriya aramam. So she, Devayani, left Yayati because he was in this indriya aramam situation. Too much attached to sensuality or sense gratification. In this case, in a particular manifestation, but speaking of life in general. So then Prabhupada begins the purport, the Swami Nam, the first word, the last line. Swami Nam. So in the Varnashram perspective, Devayani, a young girl, was cared for by her father, and then she was cared for by Yayati, but she found him to be hard-hearted and indriya aramam, and so she returned to her former maintainer. The reading of the Swaminam can be either. So that's what's in the word for word, her husband or her former maintainer, not husband, but father. And the implication that Prabhupada is making is the Vedic civilization recommends that spirit souls and women's bodies should always be under the protection of father, husband, son. Now, what do you do when there isn't a husband, or the husband goes away, or there isn't a son, or, you know, so it's not an absolute rule. You're in the doghouse if you don't have any of those arrangements, but it's recommended. And we all know people, nice devotees, spirit souls and female bodies, at least in this life, that are wonderful devotees, and they don't have the husband as their protector or a son to look after them in the later stages of life. They're not universally like that. So it's recommended. But in principle, the message is without independence. So without independence means there's someone that's a place of shelter. Expand that from the Varnashram concept or application, and that is all living entities, whatever category, should, in the human form of life, should have shelter of Krishna, because ultimately the shelter of the one who is giving shelter is Krishna. So the terminology in earlier cantos is anatta and sanatta, similar to swaminam. Sanatta is one who has anatta, a master, and anatta is one who doesn't. And those that don't, they don't have the protection of a master. They're on their own. But you can't be on your own, because constitutionally we're dependent. And so we're under the care of Maya. And that's a dangerous place to be, under the care of Maya. So we should place ourselves under the care of Swamin or Natha or a master. And literally, that means not just the protector is not just somebody with big strong arms and a stick in their hand, but someone that will help guide us in the choices and the way that we execute our life and decisions that we make and how we conduct our affairs. We should be under such Natha or Master or Swami. Speaking in a broad sense of the same concept that's being presented here. And that's stronger than, recommends. It's imperative. For spiritual progress, it's imperative. It's how the mercy of Krishna flows. The mercy of Krishna doesn't flow to one who doesn't have Natha. The force of Maya, or the face of Maya, the feature of Maya, is there for those who don't take shelter of Krishna. Then they're afforded the deluding potency of Krishna instead, thinking falsely, I'm independent. In different degrees, of course, but we're not independent. Constitutionally, we're dependent. And recognizing constitutionally we're dependent, what flows from that naturally is we place ourselves under the care of someone who we're accountable to, and we receive not just good advice and then pick and choose, but we're subordinate to the indication of that person. And one who takes that position of Natha or Swami or husband or father or teacher or spiritual master or head of state, or we all have relationships where in some way or another we're shelter for somebody. We're guiding somebody, you're giving care to somebody, particularly in Krishna conscious matters. And it's a very weighty responsibility. According to scripture, one should not take that responsibility unless one is capable of delivering that sheltered person from cycle of birth and death. Doesn't mean, well, I don't have qualifications, so I can't have relationships with anybody. It's the weight is come to that standard. Come to that standard. All over in the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada oversaw marriages. And he knew the scripture, and he knew that these neophyte Western devotees weren't capable of delivering anything. But the teaching doesn't change because of that. It's still a responsibility. And a nice indication in the storyline is when Sarmishta misbehaved with Devayani in a grievous way. Sarmishta, with the quarrel between the two, Devayani being the Brahmani, the daughter of Shukracharya, felt insulted because by mistake Sarmishta put her clothes on instead of Devyani's clothes instead of her own. By mistake, however, I don't know, you don't know whose clothes are whose, but in any case, Devyani insulted her, Sarmishta insulted her back, threw her at the bottom of a well, Yati found her in the bottom of the well, rescued her, and so when Devyani went back and told her father, Daddy, do you know what happened, what Sarmishta did? Blah, blah, blah. What did Shukracharya do? He went to Sarmishta's father. And Sarmishta's father was going to get blasted. So, because the one who he was giving shelter to, his daughter, had conducted themselves in a very bad way. Very bad way. So the father of Sarmishta became accountable. So perhaps the simple solution is just don't take any responsibility. Don't extend care to anybody because then you're accountable for things that they do. Don't have friends. Don't preach Krishna consciousness. Don't get married. Don't have children. Don't do any of these things because you're accountable. But, you know, we're accountable to somebody, and that somebody is accountable to somebody, and a life of responsibility shouldn't be neglected because there's responsibility in life, but we should know what our responsibilities are and recognize what they are, act accordingly, and then that's a big impetus. Say, dharmically, minimally, it's a big impetus to become qualified to guide others and instruct others and give shelter to others, become a married and become a parent and all those responsible things. Become qualified, become responsible. So if one has a different ashram than that one, you still have responsibility. You still have this accountability principle. Not like, looks too complicated, I think I'll just be a brahmachari and, you know, not be responsible. You're responsible. Just naturally so, without detailing the ways in which we're all responsible. We're all accountable. We're all to be under a master, and we have people that we're extending care to, and we're responsible to those people we're extending care to. Krishna consciousness is a life of responsibility. So back to the refrain that Prabhupada would speak of, that women, in this case Devyani, but in general women, Vedic culture recommends. Women should not be in an independent position, they should be under the care of someone. Husband, father, husband, or elder son. Now, it's Kali Yuga. And there's so many anomalies and so many limitations just inherent in Kali Yuga. And in our Hare Krishna movement, it's very young in terms of having infrastructure so that persons can be, care can be extended in a way that's suited for Vedic culture standards. But there's a goal, there's a model, and as we're going forward in time, we should be aware of what that model is and try to put things in place that reflect or resemble that model. At least, you know, gives us a direction to go in as our society, particularly the varnashram aspects of our society, become a little clearer and a little more mature and developed. Hare Krishna. So a little confusion about what verse for the morning, but it's, I think it's okay. Who gave class yesterday morning? Namaruchi. Did he touch on any of these topics? Some. Okay. Any discussion?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. King Jayati, in the narration, you point out to the Sanskrit translation, and he depicts himself as a he-goat, as Indriya Raman, that is someone who is, about sense gratification. And it was from the interaction that he had with Sarmishta. And during that verse, when it happens, Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport that he actually didn't break a religious principle. He actually made a choice, because it was part of Kshatriya Dharma that if
part
a woman,
of? Huh? He was part of
Kshatriya Dharma.
Okay.
The Dharma of a Kshatriya.
Yes. Yeah.
To fulfill the request of a lady who comes and asks him for a son. So he made a choice, although he considered that his father-in-law, who was a superior, told him, do not do that in advance. But he did make a choice. So what was his fault that led him to all this series of events that he later realized that it was not, the right situation for him? It was a mistake, and now he's coming to that.
Well, it's not something that you stated. I'd like to revisit or edit a little bit. I'm not aware of a principle that says some lady approaches a king and he's obliged to reciprocate with the lady's demands. Rather, Sarmishta was the maid servant of Devayani, and at least the understanding that I have is, in Vedic culture, the queen would have maid servants, and from time to time, relations would be there with the maid servant. So, and then the child that would be born would be of the same caste as the maid servant, as the mother. Not part of the royal family, but regarded as given privileges, but not the same status. So something like that. So anyway, your question was, what was his fault? Well, the fault was the fault of consciousness. Lusty consciousness. It wasn't just fulfilling a duty, it was lusty consciousness. And then actions that arise from lusty consciousness, and I'll go over it again. Lusty consciousness doesn't only mean in one category of life. It means, sensuality in general. We're bringing objects to the senses and interacting with the objects of the senses in a way that's to be the enjoyer of those objects. It's not only, in one particular line, it's in the broader picture, there's, we implicate ourselves in bondage by sense gratification in a broad sense, say eating or whatever. So that was the wrong, the consciousness specifically. And that's what the verse is pointing to. She left Utsrija because of the Indriya Aramam, the sense gratification, uncontrolled sense gratification propensity or sensuality of Yayati. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.